Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Oh gosh. Okay, we have a baby on board. We always seems that
baby
we
on set.
Baby on set, quiet on set. We got a baby on set. We got titties on set, baby on set. Maybe both will be happening simultaneously during this podcast.
Might see both.
We might see both. Wouldn't be the first time I've seen titties on this podcast. My best friend and new mother of three babies, Taylor.
Trill.
And we Trace. We have worn these specifically, they actually aren't for this Taylor at all. They're for the Queen, Taylor
Swift.
Are. But the bars that I mean, these sweatshirts for the Taylor Swift Eras tour, like commemoratively. And I was like, we obviously have to wear these on the episode with you.
Yes.
And the matching headbands because duh. Okay, so welcome back.
Thank you.
We're having you here because one, duh. And two, everyone and their mom, literally, wants to know everything about your recent birth, which took place at home.
Down the street.
Down the street. Right down the street at her home. Mm-hmm. I got a little call at
like 4:11 a.m.
4:11 a.m. It's so funny, though, because since I've been on, I kept calling it baby watch with Taylor, because I've obviously known about her home birth since she decided it. And then I was always meant to be there during the birth just as to get have help and for all the reasons,
every
sentimental
reason.
And other reasons, but like mostly because I mean, like the midwives may or may not have made it in time if you happen to give birth. Oh, there goes the baby. Baby Novi. She might want the titty. We're gonna have to hold and see on that. But basically, whenever I got the call, it's funny because since I've been on baby watch, I keep calling it. I forgot to put my phone in that like do not disturb mode where only you calling rings it. The one night I forgot was the night you went into labor. And I don't know what it was. I'm going to say it was like a universe or God thing because my phone, I was playing white noise. I also never play white noise on my phone because I have an alarm clock thing that does it. But I was playing it on my phone and the white noise cut off. And I literally, you know, when you like, you're not like, oh, what? You know, when you're like this and you like, just like wake up, like, oh, like, what was that? Like really gently, but also like, oh my gosh, you're just like awake.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like explain. It makes sense for anyone that's watching. Like I just like rose out of bed quietly. But then like, if you're listening to this, it might be confusing. But anyways, I look at my phone, the white noise is off and I see Mike Monica calling me and it's 4:11 in the morning. So I'm like,
so you knew instantly.
I was like, she's in labor. So I answer it or like, you know, something horribly tragic happened. I don't know. One or the other. And so I was like, hey, and he was like, it's time. It really was like that. He's like,
that
it's
he
time.
Said?
Yeah, he's like, hey, pretty sure she's in labor. It's time.
I we
was
never
like,
talked
okay.
about this, actually.
Well, yeah, you were a bit busy. I wasn't going to be like, do you want to hear about the phone call when Mike called me? Aren't you interested?
No, I actually am interested. I didn't know he was like, what did he say? He's like, it's time for real?
Yeah, I mean, by the way, we're back. She's on the teat. We didn't really bring it up.
There's
hungry.
Just a baby here.
There's just a blurred baby on, if you're watching this on YouTube. Okay. We're an equal opportunist podcast around here, guys. Listen, no discriminations to the titties and the feeding of the babies. What do they say on Instagram? What do moms love to say? A fed baby's best baby. What does it say?
Fed is best.
Fed is best.
They don't just say it on Instagram.
They say it everywhere. Good to know. Great to know. If you're listening, they say
fed
it everywhere.
Fed is best.
Fed is best. So anyways, he was just like, it was really calm. He's like, hey, I'm pretty sure she's in labor. It's time. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
and I was like, do y'all need anything? Like, do you want me? He's like, nope, just come over. And I was like, cool. And then became the plan, which we'd already kind of put in motion, which was like, the setup for as far as like parking goes is a bit tight at their house, my house too. So like, Nashville in general. And so it was like, I was in charge of like moving all the cars because midwives were coming. Miss Rachel, their nanny came. Cars. Like there was just a lot of, her mom wasn't there yet, but like that was an option. And then realistically, I had always thought in my head that I told myself I would walk there so that my car would be one less car, but like that made no fucking sense.
Like you're like, I'm not walking. It's four in the morning.
Walking at 4:11 in the morning, like to your house. It's not like we don't live in like a residential neighborhood. Everyone's like, what the fuck? That's how I got kidnapped. Could you imagine kidnapping me? Someone would be like, get her out of my car right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went over there, was moving cars. You were just at that point, like still on the bed, still just kind of like definitely having contractions, yeah. But. Yeah, I mean, it was just.
Oh yeah, you were the first one there.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, this is all coming back to me.
It's all coming back. It's coming back to me now. Yeah, so I was there. It was fantastic. It was. I wanted to be really quiet, but like seriously, I wanted to like not disrupt anything because, and Taylor can get further into this as far as like the home birth decision went, but like as far as I am concerned, this bitch mentally has changed everything about herself. That's not true. I don't know why I said that. The home birth was such a more of a mental like process, I feel like, than physical, like as far as pain and preparing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was really mental. So I knew I didn't want to disrupt the mental side of your shit. So I was like, I'm going to come in. I'm going to ask quietly what they want me to help with. I'm going to be silent unless spoken to. I'm not going to try to be funny. I tried to be funny twice and no one laughed. So I was like, all right, we're going to.
I'll don't remember that.
Yeah, because it wasn't funny. but yeah, I just remember like trying to be really calm and quiet. And I was helping fill up the tub. And it was so precise, the temperature. It's so funny how actually, of course, holistic and natural the whole home birth process is. But it's crazy how like medical it is too.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, so obviously this, you know, it just feels warm, right? They're like, get the thermometer. And make sure it's 98.6 or whatever it actually was. I don't remember.
I know.
And I was like, okay. And I remember one time I put the thing in there and I go, it's good. I was like, the temperature is, I think I said like 98.4. And they were like, no. And I go, well, you said 90. They're like 98.6. And I'm flubbing the numbers. But like they were so serious about like the exact temperature it had to be. And oh, I was yeah. like, oh, okay. Well, this is like a real thing. All right.
I know. People think that, I think when you think of like a home birth, it's just kind of like, estimating ballpark what are these crunchy weirdo hippies like doing, and they really they do have it down to
a science.
lol
but
it's very professional.
Like I felt like you guys had and I know maybe if midwives are listening to this they're like we're not doctors, maybe they'll appreciate that I say this, but like they literally I felt like three doctors were in the room with you.
Yeah,
like three really nice calming
they're very educated on birth in general, and I think that's where people like don't have the right idea of midwives because they're kind of they're not seen as I guess as smart as doctors, obviously, because they're not doctors. They aren't, but they are trained and they're professionals in birth,
right?
Which
and
is the
amount of
part.
Documentaries this bitch made me watch. I mean, like the way that I just have a brief break from watching birth, I just am thankful for that. Okay, but
it.
I just remember watching all the schooling and training and yeah. and oh. It's we've got thunder and tornado warnings and we're getting a bit flashy here with the electricity. Yes. There's a lot going on this podcast right now. But yeah, I was just shocked by that. I mean, a lot of questions I got and we don't have to like go into them in depth were questions about what do you do afterwards? Like, what if she needed to be stitched? Like, so how do they measure? Like, she has to go to the hospital, right? So they can do all this stuff, right? And I'm like, no, I was also shocked at like how quickly they went into, okay, does she need sutures? You didn't need to be sewn up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in part due to you doing a home birth and it being a lot more like natural, but I mean, they were like very, very, like I said, I felt like I was in a room with a team full of doctors, even though I know they're not technically yeah. doctors.
I mean, they come prepared for all that stuff. Like if you hemorrhage, they have Pitocin, they carry oxygen for baby.
Right.
They carry stuff for mom if she needs issues or if she has issues, not needs issues. They carry what else? I'm like thinking like they can stitch you up right there if you have a tear.
I watched them.
They
when
do
you,
everything.
When you were on the thing, they were like, we're checking her now to make sure she doesn't have a tear that we need to stitch up. And I was like, oh, y'all stitch her up. And they were like, yeah.
Yeah. They carry everything. Like they are professionals.
Right. No, it felt extremely, and I know that's in due part too to you hiring who you hired. You went with Wild
right.
Fig, which is a great company, I'm sure very
yeah.
you know, sought after. But I was just very impressed. I was impressed with the whole process. So basically, I guess the main question, and you can just summarize this because I know this is, you know, you'll go more in depth on your own time, but what made you choose to do a home birth after having two hospital births with epidurals both times?
The biggest question yet.
The big bang.
Ultimately, I think the answer to why I decided to do a home birth is a lot of different layers. So it's not just like a one simple answer, but I wouldn't say that I had any issues with my hospital births. Like, I don't regret them or anything. I, like, just said that on my story yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to try something new, and I got really hooked on the idea of something called physiological birth, which is what I made you watch
Yeah.
I got really fixated on the concept of physiological birth as opposed to just doing it the traditional American way of being medicated in a hospital on your back, doing the whole thing that I've done twice.
Right.
I just wanted to try something new. And I had friends who have done it recently who'd say nothing. I mean, they rave about it. So like nothing but good things.
Physiological just mean like natural?
It's a process that your body does naturally. So like digesting your food.
It's physiological.
You don't think about digesting your food. Your body just does it.
Right.
Breathing.
Like, so I got a hemorrhoid. Sometimes I'd be thinking about this shit. Sometimes it's really at the front of my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. Birth is a physiological process that your body knows how to do.
Right.
Obviously, it's painful and the contractions don't feel good, but that's why you mentally prepare yourself to do things like breathing exercises, which for me were huge. Some people rely straight up on like hypnobirthing. I never really dove into hypnobirthing as much. I did play the soundtrack. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was it called?
It's called Christian Hypnobirthing, you don't have to be a Christian to want to listen to it. It doesn't.
Man, it was
not religious,
so calming.
It's fine. It's more of just like the tone of her voice, the way she says it. It's very motivating because she's saying motivational things.
I'll tell you what she's saying. And I'm not a mother, and I am speaking as someone who was very afraid of birth for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I was that weirdo that would like ask my mom, like, I'd be like, I'm scared to give birth. And she's like, that's all right, babe. You're seven.
You know,
it's going to be okay. But I was also the girl that would be like, what happens after we die? And my mom was just like, oh my gosh. She's like, I could not get you to sleep. You would just like, I'd be like, it's time to read a princess story. And you're like, what happens after we die? Like, God. What? So I was always like very afraid of that. And then moving into my like adult life, even more so scared of birth. And what I think is the most calming about the hypnobirth, and maybe you agree or disagree, is her saying over and over and over how like millions of women all over the world are doing this right now.
With you.
They say it, yeah, with you. At the same exact moment that you're doing this, someone else.
It's like little things like that.
It's crazy to think about because it's true. Someone else in South Africa right then at that exact moment was pushing a baby out at the exact same moment at you. There's no questions asked. The odds are absolutely yes, that was happening at the same time.
Yep.
Millions of women around the world are giving birth at the same time as you. She goes into this like, and of course she's like the opposite of my voice. She's like calm, relaxing.
She's got a bit of an accent.
Yeah, and she's like talking about how like you were designed to do this and women for the history of the world have done this. It's how we quite literally have a population. She doesn't go into detail like that, but she just says like, this is what we were designed to do.
That made
me feel proud to be a woman.
When somebody asked me what is like the number one thing that helped you get through labor, it's like, it's that sentence right there. And I don't know how to explain it. When I would go to my midwife's office, they have it framed in the bathroom and I would always read it and be like, love that. And then I got this stack of what do you call them? Not motivational cards, but what is it called?
Tarot cards.
No, affirmations.
I'm just kidding.
I got tarot cards. She's like, a Ouija board.
Oh, Ouija.
Oh my God. No, I got this stack of cards that were words of affirmation for birth. And I've seen a lot of home births, like, you know, where people set up the whole fairy lights and they put their cards out, which I'm like, good for you. That's great. In the moment, that was not something I'm like not doing an art project to set up, which I'm like, if that works for you, great. That would not have helped me.
Right.
The only thing I needed was my one affirmation card, which I had in my nightstand. I don't even know if you noticed it.
No, I didn't.
But it's so simple. All it says is, your body was made to do this. And I was like, that's the only reminder I just kept needing over and over again. I'm like, yeah, why are you scared? I'm like, these contractions hurt. They're not going to kill you.
Right. And like, by the way, like, honestly, aside from like, now we know it's 2023, women were made to do a million beautiful, wonderful, powerful things. But like, if you really break it down to the basics, we were literally just put here to give birth, to populate. Yeah. Like, that is the one thing we were absolutely, no questions asked, made to do. And I don't say that in a way that, like, I know there are women out there who can't have children, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying if you are able to have children, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're made to do this.
And if you don't make it to the hospital, like, that's your plan, your body's still going to push that baby out. Like, that's what people, I think, people forget. They're like, how'd you do it at home? I'm like, the same way I would have done it if I was in a car in the interstate and I didn't make it to the hospital. Your body just gets the baby out. Like, you know, might not be where you want to do it, but it's possible.
Right. All right, if you girly pops have been following me for a while, then you already know that I've been using Care Vitamins for legit years. I think actually around 5 years. Now, I love these things for a multitude of reasons and have gotten all my family to start taking them as well, because anytime I go home and they see my cute little personalized packs, they're like, wait, I need that. And it's great because outside of it being personalized with their name on the packets, like it literally says Shannon on the packet. I love it. It's completely personalized with what your body needs. You just take this easy, in-depth 5-minute quiz and it asks you all about your body, your lifestyle, your day-to-day consumptions, and health goals. Now, this is the part, though. This is the part where we gotta be honest. Like, how many drinks you have a week? And we all know we'd be having that wine. But it's great because, like me, who be having that wine, in my pack, I get magnesium, which is helpful because you can be deficient in magnesium when consuming alcohol. It explains it all in this pamphlet they give you, too. I love it. I've got ashwagandha in my pack as well for concentration. We've got B12 for energy, probiotics for my gut health. And everyone, I think I'm doubled up on my gut health too, the probiotic, because everyone wants good gut health. And I can see a serious difference in my digestion when I'm consistently taking my Care of Vitamins. Each shipment comes with a customized pamphlet showing you exactly what's in your individual daily packs and why it was recommended specifically for you and your health goals, which was personalized by doctor-backed recommendation, taking all the guesswork out of what supplements are best suited for you. Because God knows I don't know any of this stuff. So we need the doctors to come in here. Also, for all of us trying to take care of sweet Mother Earth a little bit more, you can take comfort in knowing that Care of's daily vitamin packs are made of plant-based compostable film, so you can stress less about your impact on the environment. I am always traveling, as you guys know, so having these individual packs that are like already made up with everything I need in them is just so much more convenient than packing a bunch of different bottles of pills. And y'all already know that I hooked it up with a code. For 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code probably50. That's a whopping 50% off your first order that'll head straight to your door by heading to takecareof.com and entering code probably50. You're welcome. I also, thinking about like the calming part of the Christian hypnotherapy.
Christian hypnobirthing.
Christian hypnobirthing, which by the way, sounds like a super scary cult. Like, it really they does. Should work on the branding because yeah. That sounds weird. It was really calming and not weird at all.
Yeah.
What wasn't calming was when it would like, so I guess it's like it's a 15-minute loop. Mm-hmm. And when it would end on yeah. Spotify, Taylor would be like, Mike, he'd be like,
it always happened in the middle of a contraction that I was trying to stay focused on, and I needed her voice being like, just breathe through the wave, and yeah, I'd yeah. in, and I'd be like,
what was she, Australian?
I think so.
She's like, oh yeah, I'm not even gonna try to do it. We should have James down here. But it was, yeah, it would go off, and Mike would just be like doing something else helpful, right? He wouldn't be just like twirling his thumbs, but he'd be like, she'd be like,
he's like operating a
Mike,
camera.
Yeah. Mike, yeah. You were like gritting your teeth, and I was like, ah, I get the hint of prayer.
I'm like pushing myself out of the tub to be like, Mike.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, I mean, I feel like the journey and the answer is not short of why you decided to do that. But I just noticed as your best friend, like, you just have been on a crunchy ass journey. I said I was gonna start this podcast out by saying what up, you crunchy bitch, because really you just have been. And it's like funny because
thank you,
I'm just surrounded by crunch. Like my whole friendship circle has turned into a fucking Nature Valley bar because I have Anna Grace in my life, who she's just been natural hippie as long as, you know, we've both known her. And then you come along and you just like, you're my eat mac and cheese, like eat all the processed sugar, you're my girl, right? We're getting toxic manicures, we're like living it up, we're living the good life.
Yep.
My kids live a good life. But then, yeah, you just like kind of turn this leap, which like I'm here for anything anyone wants to do, because you've never pressured me to do anything. You always say stuff like, that toothpaste isn't good for you. And I'll be like, suck my dick. But you just kind of, I just started listening and being interested in the stuff you were saying. And I will fast forward to when you told me you were thinking about doing a home birth. And you were probably 2 months pregnant.
I don't even remember.
I don't remember either, but
Let's dive into that moment real
quick.
Because we haven't talked about this since I gave birth.
Right. So you were like, I came over to your house. Everything is a thing. Everything's the drama. The build-up.
The
so
suspense.
We love it. We have nothing else going on in our lives. So I'm like,
I give her a look. She'll walk in. I'm like, so Shannon.
Yeah, that's just so
and
true.
And she's like, what?
I'm like, bitch, what? I feel like
there's like a pause.
If you have a best friend, you absolutely do this with your best friend. Like, she's like, so she and I'm like, tell me
what
are you gonna name the baby after me, just be honest. And she's like, so, and I'll tell you what I did not see coming, this. And I didn't believe you for sure. Like when you first said like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have a home birth, I was like, okay. And then you like started telling me why and like what you think about it and like that you really kind of want to look into it more. And at this point,
can we backtrack really fast?
Yeah.
Typically you would have known the process of my like my thought process behind it and like leading up to it making the decision. You were gone. You were in London.
Yeah.
For so long.
Fuck you, James.
I'm yeah. James, honestly. You were gone for so long. And I honestly kind of had to make the decision semi fast because I was choosing my care
away.
Sick with my HG. Had to get in to see a doctor or a midwife, whatever route I was going to take. So I had to kind of like make these decisions quick. And we weren't, you know, back in your like super honeymoon early phase of dating, James, you were not answering your phone when you went to London. So like we weren't talking unless you were here. Like you'd go for like what, a week or two at a time?
I forgot that this was almost a year ago.
Was it? Oh my God, it was.
Because yeah, I mean, like, you're pregnant for 10 months. Yeah. So yeah, I actually just remembered that you're right. I was like, it was when I was like with his family and I couldn't be like, sorry, my friend's calling. I'm like, okay, I'm with his family. I'm putting my phone away or we're at dinner. I'm not like eating it. It was like, yeah, you're right. It was like the honeymoon.
We said it too. We were like, we go like 6 days without talking. It's so weird.
Yeah. And the time difference, we hadn't quite, time now difference. We have a better handle on that.
Yeah.
But at the time it was like really difficult.
Yeah. So you get home, you come up, you land. And like, I think like an hour later you came over that night. Remember?
Yes.
You came over. It was
I always come over the night.
She literally comes straight from the airport. And you walked always. In. And like, I knew I was like going to tell you. And I was like, what is she going to say? I remember being like, what nervous. Is your reaction going to be? Because I will say this, which is another thing I'll get into way later. But we all know now, I kept this as like a very big secret.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was going to tell you. And Mike and I were telling our parents.
Obviously.
Yeah. We were going to tell our parents. You were going to know. And then that was really all I had plans for. But that's as far as my brain thought. And that was fine with me to keep it just that tight little circle right there.
Didn't you?
I'm pretty sure I did.
I
other than like my sisters having to know.
Well, okay. Like yeah. I just mean like other than your immediate family and me, I'm pretty sure that.
Not even my immediate family. Like.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like we just told mom and dad.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying my sisters had to know because they're.
Yeah. Your younger sisters. And they kept my coming mom up. Had to,
you know.
Right.
So anyway, I just remember being nervous about how you were going to react because. I was one of the first pieces of advice that I was given from the midwives was, this is such a mental thing. I would keep it hush hush because you don't need outside voices swaying you some other, you know, a different direction.
Right. Sorry, the lights are flickering again.
So we do this with a lantern. We're like, so
we're like, Taylor doesn't believe in any electricity.
She's Amish now.
Taylor is Amish.
I just remember being really nervous to tell you because I was scared that your reaction wasn't going to be something that excited me. And then
what was my reaction? I don't remember.
I want to say like, okay, so you come in, we do the whole thing where I'm like, so Shannon, I'll tell you something. And so you're like, what, bitch? And then I do the whole thing where I gave you the runaround. And I don't tell you for 5 minutes.
Literally.
So then I finally tell you, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm thinking of doing a home birth this time. And you, I don't think you spoke. Your mouth was just like wide open. You were like, what?
I think I was shook. I wrote on my paper when I wrote what was my reaction. I just wrote shook.
You were like, you're lying.
Yeah.
But you were always very, you were positive. Like you were like excited, shocked. It was what I wanted.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. I was excited, shocked for sure. Because here's the thing. Part of me, there's 50% of me that was like, duh. Like, I totally could see why you would do this. And
really?
Because you had gotten so crunchy. I was like, yeah, this checks out. But the other part of me, I still can't believe like you, the way you just display. And really, I'm not trying to be sentimental here, but all women display strength when they're giving birth. Mm-hmm. Like the Taylor I have known and loved and became best friends with for the past I don't even know how many years of our lives, 5, 6, whatever, 8. Oh, 20. Shit. I mean, 26. No, actually, I think it is 8 years. But like the best friend that I grew up knowing since I was like 22, right? 21, 22. You were a little bitch. You know what I mean? Like you didn't handle pain well. Every like minor inconveniences as far as like physical went were like troublesome to you, right?
And I'd like brush my hair and I'd be like, ow.
I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I said, tender headed. I said, how does a bitch who's tender headed have a home birth? How do you go from being like, she'd be like, will you do my hair or something? I'd be like curling your hair and I'd do it. And she'd be like, and I'm like, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're tender headed, you're a little bitch. Like that's crazy.
Well, next time you braid my hair or curl it, I will practice my breathing techniques.
You practice those breathing techniques. So I just can't believe that someone that like would wince when I would put her hair in a high pony is like giving unmedicated home birth. So I think I was just like, because it was your third.
What? You always say it so
unmedicated.
Wrong. You're not giving unmedicated home birth. You said that like seven having, times.
Having. Is it having?
You're not having unmedicated home birth either.
She's displaying
Unmedicated.
She gave birth at home and it was unmedicated.
Yes.
Boom. Okay, hear me out. I want us to all think back to sex ed for a second. It's absolutely drilled into our heads how to prevent pregnancy. But what about when it's time to plan for it? I feel like we're taught that we're supposed to go to the OBGYN once a year for our annual checkups, but checking in with our fertility, it's usually not a thing until we're ready for kids. And then sometimes not even then. More times than not, we aren't checking in with our fertility until we find ourselves struggling to get pregnant, unfortunately. We are no longer living in a day and age where we have to just wait and see. Why not just find out sooner? Knowledge is power, and when you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, and your future. And that's exactly why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. I actually did this a few years ago with Modern Fertility when I was 25, and the prick is honestly not bad at all. I've just done it again now that I'm 29 because I'm just curious about my body as I'm aging, and they make it so easy too. You just mail in the sample you take with a prepaid label, and then you'll get your personalized results within 6 business days. It's super easy and quick. What you get back is really cool too because they give you insight into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, aka if you have more or fewer eggs than average for your age, and other important factors that can really impact your fertility. The results go really deep into what every hormone means, so if you're like me and didn't really understand the verbiage, don't worry, they break it all down really nicely for you. Also, you can download the results and share them with your doctor, which is nice. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones for only $179. Oh, and you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA/HSA. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering my listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/probably. That means your test is only going to cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/probably. That's modernfertility.com/probably. Okay, so like I think it was a little bit easier for me to comprehend because it was your third. But again, for both of her hospital births, it wasn't like she did hospital and epidural the first time. Second time she went hospital, no epidural. Third time she's like, let's bring it all home, third base. No. It was like a big jump. Yeah. But I did just know. I trust you. You are one, she's a witch. We always say this. I'm like, mm-hmm. Anna Grace is a witch as well. I surround myself with witches. But like you be knowing things like, mm-hmm. You know things before I know them. You say things to me that I'm like, that can't possibly be true. And then like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you were right. So you know yourself better than anyone else. And when you were like so sure of it, I was like, I'll give it a week or two and see. And then like Taylor does, the bitch latches. She latches on to things. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time someone was talking about like your ring or something, your diamond ring. And she spent like the next like 3 months like looking into like the clarities and everything about diamonds. And she would call me and be like, guess what else I found about diamonds? I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, because like, I didn't understand the C's.
Like, she wanted to understand. When she wants to understand something, you go balls to the wall. And mm-hmm. It's really respectful, but like honestly, just not for me personally to research like that. And you love it. So like then came 8 months of you obviously being very serious about it. And then, you know, you met with a doctor and a midwife. Mm-hmm. And it was great. That's like kind of my experience with kind of you telling me.
Yeah.
I mean, and then obviously you didn't have a name for a while. This is Novi Josephine Monaco, which I really like the name Josephine, and I was kind of secretly and selfishly hoping that they didn't use it because I was gonna put it on my baby name list because I just
still can.
I still can. They'd be like, oh, fucking course these two name their kids the same thing. But I just
look at our shirts. Look at our headbands.
I just think it's a really, really, really beautiful name. And the name came from us watching. You know, I was there when you found it out, right? Wasn't I? When we were watching Impractical Magic?
Did you just call it Impractical Magic?
What is it called? Unmedicated home birth and practical magic.
I'm giving unmedicated home birth and I'm watching Impractical. It's called practical magic. It's opposite of
it. Was I sitting with you when you found it, or did you tell me when we were sitting there you saw it recently?
And I just watched that a whole bunch.
Yeah,
I watched it 20 times throughout October. Got it. I want to say I do remember being by myself because why else would I have been paying attention to credits? I was so bored.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think whenever we were done watching it, you were like, look what's about to pop up. I really like the name Novi.
Yeah.
But you're like, take off the D. I saw it on the TV. You're like, take off the D. Yeah, you had already seen it.
I explained it to you.
Right.
Next time we watched it.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So then, yeah, they didn't actually decide on that name though. They were deciding between that and like 3 other names. And Novi was 4 days old. And Mike was literally like, babe, we got to name this kid.
Like, he's like, so what's it going to be, Josephine? And I was like, I don't know. I really still love Novi.
It's just so cute. And it matches everything with like Walker, Lola, Novi. Like, it's so fucking cute.
And we played around like to be honest, we were like, okay, these are our top two names, Josephine and Novi. Which one just sounds better being first?
Right.
Which Novi Josephine sounded better to me than Josephine Novi.
Josephine Novi's almost like a tongue tie.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
So it flowed better being Novi first, and I was like, I win.
What about Walker? So her firstborn Walker, who's four, what about her being in the room while you gave birth? Because I personally was like, you're not going to want this. This is my job, moving cars, getting Walker under control. I was like,
moving cars.
Yeah, they like brought him, it's important stuff. They brought Walker in, because I remember I said, do you want me to bring Walker in? She just woke up, because at that point it was like 7:30. Mm-hmm. And Walker came in and said, hey, to you. And then I thought for sure immediately, I even said, I was like, do you want me to take her out? And you're like, she can stay. And I was shocked by that, because I thought you for sure would be like, I don't want her in here, one, to see me in pain, two, because she's four, she understands stuff.
Yeah.
And then two, I thought she would be causing a ruckus, which she was so stoic and calm, which that's just like not Walker, really. Like, she's like a four-year-old little kid. Like, she's, you know, all over the place.
Crazy.
And she was, what were your reasoning behind that, kind of?
So you think you had it bad with me watching home birth videos?
Yeah.
Do you know how many Walker watched with me?
She'd watch him
and
with
she
you?
She would ask. She would request to watch them. I'd be like, Walker, you want to go watch Gabby's Dollhouse? And she'd be like, can we watch a home birth video?
Really?
Oh my God. It was like her favorite thing. Like, I wish she was here right now so I could be like, what do you love watching on YouTube? She would tell you right now, home birth videos or birth videos.
That's so funny.
She was obsessed with it to the point where I was like, I thought it was so cute, but I was also like, are you going to be a midwife when you get older?
Are you going to be? She told the midwife that she wanted to be a midwife.
So Walker, I knew that she would want to be in it. And she kept asking like, do I get to be in the room when the baby comes out?
Right.
And I'm like, maybe, we'll see.
Well, our girl Hillary Duff, she had a home birth. Taylor's obsessed with Hillary Duff to the point that it's like, it's absolutely not normal. And I've never known you to be obsessed with anyone. You're like, literally, like, you don't fangirl over anyone except for Hillary Duff.
I was also, not anymore. I mean, I still love her. But like, the obsession that I had, the one that you're, the creepy one you're talking about, I was like 11.
I think it's still there. It's a little creepy still. She's not going to watch this. Be honest with yourself.
She might.
I'm just kidding. No, but she had her baby, daughter in the
she
pool
did
with
two
her.
Home births, and she had her daughter, I think, in the water with her. Yeah.
It was so cute. It was like really sweet. I didn't know if you were going to put Walker in the water with
I didn't want anyone in the water with me.
Mike was like, should I get in?
Because a lot of the husbands sometimes get in the tub, and I'm the person that's like, don't touch me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I'm in pain, that's one thing. If I'm in pain that I'm trying to mentally tell myself I'm not in pain, I'm also, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah, you don't need someone like, it's okay. Yeah, yeah.
I know. And I've watched, and it looks so beautiful, these videos where the men are just like rubbing their arms or whatever. And I'm just like, I would be like, don't touch me.
She is like that. I think one time he came over to you and brushed your head over and kissed you, and you were like,
yeah.
I can't
stand it.
But your decision to have Walker in the room, sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. I was only going to tell her to leave if she was acting her normal self, crazy four-year-old self that she's normally at, like, at 2:00 in the afternoon. But because it was early in the morning, because we did wake her up when it was time to, like, push, right? I think I remember that right.
She just woke up and we just kind of, like, brought her. I was like, she's awake. Can we bring her in?
It was just, like, time to get up. At that point, honestly, I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember her being in the room all of a sudden, and she was very calm. And she was so calm and so, like, collected, I was like, she can stay. She's not bothering me. Now, if she had started bothering me, if every 5 seconds she was like, mommy, I would be like, get her out.
That is exactly like what I walked over to you and I was like, I'll take Walker whenever you want me to. And you were like, she's okay. She's fine. She can stay. I'm like, okay.
And I knew how much she wanted to watch it. She always asked.
She was so interested. It was like so cute, except for, it's funny, what was it like days later where she was like, no, this was like a couple days ago. She go, yeah, Walker came up to me today. Goes, mom, I still can't believe Novi came out of your butt. You were like, yeah.
So
she's watching home births and she's not like, wow. But I watched, whenever I was like 11, my dog had puppies and no one was there except for me and my mom. And we were like helping one of them was stuck and my mom and I were helping our dog Sadie give birth.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it was pretty intense. And
a midwife.
Dude, I'm a midwife. I was catching these puppies. And my mom, a vet lives up the street from us and she hadn't gotten there yet. And I remember being like, my dad came home that night. I was like, I can't believe Sadie pooped out all her puppies. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
They're like, as a kid, you think like things that come out of your body, you're like, poop babies.
You don't think of like the separation.
Yeah, you're like,
what am I gonna tell her? No, it was a vagina. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel like explaining all that right now, so I'm like, yeah, mommy pooped him out.
Mommy just pooped her out, honestly. Yeah, that's,
and it did. I mean, my position that I was in on like all fours, I'm like, she can't tell.
The craziest thing for me personally was, one, how,
tell us what the craziest thing for you personally was.
For me personally, the craziest thing was realizing that in hospitals, and I get it, it's a I don't want to say it's a lawsuit thing, but I guess it is essentially, that's kind of what it breaks down to, that like women have to give birth laying down because it's too dangerous for women to be on all fours standing up, because obviously if something bad were to happen, the hospital could be liable, right?
Yeah. What's and the word for that?
It's a liability issue.
Liability?
I guess like it's in that, and that makes sense. I'm not like, that's messed up. That's not naturally how women should give birth. I'm like, okay, if you're running hospital with thousands and millions of women giving birth all the time,
who can't feel their legs, who
have epidurals, then yeah, that makes sense that they wouldn't be able to do that. But it would make more sense. And the craziest thing for me personally was noticing and realizing, duh, women giving birth squatting me. I'm like, women squatting or like the way you were, which was like bent over like this, like that naturally for gravity, that is how a baby would fall out. Now picture there's something inside of you that you want to come out of you and you're laying on your back.
Yeah.
Just pushing. It's like, that's obviously going to be harder to do.
It also doesn't open your, as far as bones go, it doesn't open your pelvis as wide as it could.
Right.
Which is a lot of times why your baby might get stuck.
Right.
Or something else might happen. Like it's not a good position to be in. It's crazy that that's like the standard.
That's the standard. But like you said, when you have an epidural, you can't feel your legs. How do you squat?
Right.
It really brings me back to just being thankful for my squatty potty.
Like I said, my choice to have a home birth is a lot of layers. This is like layer number 77.
It's an onion. The home birth is an onion. Yeah. Y'all, I am so excited to talk about this company because I have been using them forever. And they just came out with a new product that is so good. So good. I used to get so excited when my mom would let me get a new Tree Hut, like scrub or product at the store when I was younger. So this is just coming full circle, baby. Like, I love talking about Tree Hut because I've just, like I said, been using them forever. I feel like everyone can picture it too right now, right? Like, Tree Hut is just the OG. So many scents, and it feels so nice to scrub your body with something that feels nice and luxe without the massive luxe price tag attached to it. It also looks really pretty displayed in your bathroom. Like, I always have a couple of them, like, sitting around my bathtub. It's really pretty. So, it makes sense that Tree Hut is America's number one body scrub. And now they've done it again. They have released a hydrating gel wash. It's honestly unreal. It's infused with a fruit oil complex that hydrates your skin so well. I personally have the world's driest skin, so I'm always trying to keep it hydrated. It renews your skin with antioxidants, brightening vitamin C, and some amazingly rich and fatty acids. I don't know why I love saying that so much. Rich and fatty acids. Okay. Anyways, seriously, it's just an amazing product, and it's great for clearing your skin of dirt, oil, and grime while also balancing its microbiome. And did you guys know that I was smart enough to use words like microbiome? Yeah, well, I am. So run and do not walk. Go get yourself Tree Hut's newest product at Target and Ulta, because I know y'all are already going to be up in there anyways. And if you aren't, then you can still shop it online at Target and Ulta as well, because I also know y'all got y'all's phones in your hands. So shop Tree Hut. It's amazing. And the new product, chef's kiss. Let's talk about one more thing with like the actual birth, and then we can wrap that part up. But the so I want to tell the part of the story where you, so it's called the Ring of Fire. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this and you're a woman who's given birth, then they use this term in any, when you give birth at the hospital too, right?
It's when you're crowning.
It's when the baby's head, which is obviously the largest part to come out, is coming right out of the hoo-ha. Okay.
Which is crazy. I always thought it was the shoulders. Does that make sense to you? I thought the widest you would ever stretch is when the shoulders come out.
Wait, explain that. Why is it not?
Shoulders, how it's supposed to, you know, for the most part, is the shoulders come out almost like one by one. So it's like,
bloop, so it's like, bloop. It's like a head.
The head
comes out.
Is the widest, and then it goes like blip blip.
Oh, they don't just slip and slide out of that thing.
I mean, they could. I don't really know.
Obviously, everyone's different, but yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
But the way that it's, I mean, supposed to,
right. The Ring of Fire is the head.
I'm hesitant to say this. I'd put it on a podcast and then be like, actually.
No, you can say what. Listen, this is our personal experience. We're obviously not midwives. We're not OBGYNs. We're not any of these things. We're just a bitch that's seen a couple births happen and a bitch that's had three births.
That's just what I've been told, is that the shoulders are supposed to come out, you know, like one after the other kind of.
No one's listening to this podcast thinking it's a medical and or finance and or any professional podcast. So if you are and you're taking this shit seriously.
We do not have our PhDs.
Just tune off for a bit. Take a drive. Get some air and shut the fuck up. So I think the Ring of Fire is like what was the most people were asking, because the one question was, at any point did you, because going back to the fact that you had two hospital births, both with epidurals, was there ever a part of the home birth, of the birth in general, where you were like, oh my God, I want an epidural? And she'd already told me about this. She's like, there's going to be a time. There's a time where all women who have unmedicated birth.
We have to prep this really quick.
Okay.
I had told Shannon, I was like, I want you there. But obviously, since you're going to be there, there's a couple things you have to know.
Yes.
And this is something the midwives told me to prep, not just you, but anyone who's going to be there in the room. They were like, they need to be on the same page. They need to be aware and they need to know. So it was things to go over, like, you got to be quiet. Since it is such a mental thing, you cannot disturb me. They can't be like leaving, going to and from. Like, you got to come in and almost shut up.
Yeah, yeah. They had to tell me that twice.
Right? I did remember the one time, which kind of made me laugh because I was like, typical. But then, what was the other thing? I'm blanking. Like, on what the transition. I prepped you with. So I told you there would be probably a moment where I'm like, none of my breathing techniques at this point were going to work whenever transition was happening or the Ring of Fire.
Transition is basically the point where you go from having your contractions that are getting obviously more intense, to all of a sudden the transition is when the baby is here. It's coming. The baby's coming out now, and you're transitioning into those last couple contractions that are way bigger, way more intense, because the baby is exiting your body. That's the transition, right?
Like, she's about to come out.
You're no longer just having contractions of pushing her towards your vaginal opening, but you're now like, it's about to come out, and that's time. The transition.
There's no turning back.
And that's the point, she said, where midwives say everyone begs, like, I can't do this, take me to the hospital. Yeah. Well, of course not everyone. I'm sure there's some women who are insanely strong and are just like, doo-doo-doo. But
they tell me there is a part that you will reach in labor that all your breathing techniques and all your prepping will completely go out the window, and you will beg for an epidural, you will scream, you will be in the most pain, but it is so short-lived, and boy was it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was like waiting for this moment, right?
Oh, I was too.
And it happened, and it was so obvious. Do you want to reenact, or do you want me to reenact?
I want you to reenact it.
Okay, she's in the tub, and all of her contractions, I'm so impressed by her. Like, people are like, would you ever do a home birth? I'm like, that's a different can of worms. Honestly, probably not, because I'm too scared. But like, if I were to ever want to do a home birth, the one person who would make me do this is her, because I don't want to take any of your pain or suffering away, but you made it look, I don't want to say easy, but you made it look doable. Okay. Right, you made it look achievable. You're like a prime time person who should have been like filmed giving birth so that someone could watch it and feel more confident and strong.
Thanks.
So all your techniques and preparation worked. So anyways, all of her contractions, they were like this. And if you're listening, just try to close your eyes and picture it. She's like holding onto the tub. She'd like, you'd see it. She'd about to be time to happen. And she's like, it was like this like low moan, but not even really. She was just like, and I'm picturing, because Hollywood makes birth seem so crazy, I'm picturing you being like, and you were literally, you're just like this. And it was almost like you were cold. Like, you were like, you could tell you were like shivering because you were holding on to the sides of the tubs. But you, for the most part, were just like, like that, right? The transition happens. You're like, so one of the midwives' name's Chelsea, and she's like, when she was having her contractions, she needed someone to put pressure on her lower back. She thought it was Chelsea doing it the whole time, but actually it was me, because crazy. Chelsea was holding a mirror. But anytime she would have a contraction, she'd go, Chelsea, and then Chelsea would look at me, and I'd put my fist in the lower back.
Which you guys kept from me.
Well, we didn't want to.
Good call. No, good call.
Anything else up or
good call.
Think there's more people
in the
tub.
Moment, I would have been like, Shannon's doing it? No.
Does she know what she's doing? No. But Chelsea like showed me how to do it, and it was like applying pressure. So anytime she would have a contraction, she'd go, Chelsea, and Chelsea would come over, and I would do the fist thing, because Chelsea was busy using a mirror to look at all the other important midwife stuff. And so this particular time, she goes to have a contraction. She's like, Chelsea, help, help, help me, Chelsea, help me, help me. And I was like, everyone in the room knew that it was the transition, and everyone knew because they had a mirror. They literally have a mirror in the pool underneath, sliding underneath to see, like, you know, and they saw the baby's head, and they're like, you got this, you got this. I think one person said, you got this, but it was, I don't want to laugh and say it was funny, but you really were like, help, help me, help me, help, 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 help me, help me. Yeah. And we were all just staring there like, yeah, that, like, we,
it's the, all you.
You did, so you did this. Remember that time you decided you want to do this? So you got, we can't really help you, girl. And like, that was it. And I want to say, I remember thinking, ooh, that was so sad. I don't know if I could watch her do. Oh, they were like, Anne, here she comes.
They're like, grab your baby.
Anne, grab your baby. Grab your baby. And I was like, whoa. So I think your transition, they're so right. I would give it 10, 11 seconds.
Yeah.
10 or 11 seconds. And again, everyone's different, but you're crowning that transition period. It was, yeah, I was like, ooh, that might be hard to watch again. I might need to take Walker out, because she might need to watch her mom's yell, but the baby's here. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So short lived.
So
definitely burned, but
yeah, that was,
it was so fast. I think a lot of me saying help me also, which I don't even think I've told you this yet, but a lot of me freaking out and having that panic moment of saying help me, it wasn't even because the pain got so intense. It did hurt and it did burn. I was more scared
right.
of like okay, I know what's going on. I know her head is about to come out. And that's where I'm like, okay, if you're going to tear, this is when you're going to do it. You're going to feel yourself tear. You're not medicated. Ooh. I think all these thoughts started going through my brain.
Yeah.
I got scared. And the technique when you are crowning, it's how it's the difference in not tearing versus having epidural, not being able to feel the pushes. Remember the difference that I talked about this?
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Midwives always told me, like, what you want to do, you know, you won't be medicated, so you'll feel it better, which is a good thing. It's to your benefit. You'll feel crowning more. You'll feel the pushes. You'll feel the contractions. You'll feel how hard you're working. And so you want to blow a feather. So pretend like you're keeping a feather afloat. You're supposed to go like, like that's the cut. Remember, did I do that?
Yeah, you did do that. And also explain to them too what the reason is, and which made sense to me, because when you're crowning is when most people tear is when they push too hard when the baby's head is coming out, versus you being able to feel it. They push too hard because they can't feel it because they have an epidural.
Right. Obviously, think about your perineum, your vagina opening. It's like getting the widest. It's going to get when the baby's head, the biggest part is coming out, you're crowning. That's right. Your crowning. You have to give that tissue like a few seconds to fully stretch. Before you just go and like push that baby out, that's when you rip, and that's when your skin's like, wait, we weren't ready, you know?
Right.
So you wanna the breathing, the feather breathing, going like, that's supposed to help you from having that bear down, that urge to bear down. It's like an uncontrollable urge to bear down when the baby's coming out. Like your body's gonna naturally do it regardless, right? Whether you want to or not,
right?
But that's why you blow like that. It helps you not tear. And I didn't tear.
You didn't tear. And it's crazy too.
And she was out in 5 seconds after that.
Yeah. Someone was like, oh, I already said this part where they were like, what would you have done if she teared? I'm like, they would suture up. But I watched them check you and they were like,
yeah.
Nope, you didn't tear. And I was like, shut up.
And I also want to say, not to freak anyone out, like one of my very good friends that had a home birth before me, that was a very big encouragement for me to do it.
Right.
She had her home birth. She tore.
Yeah.
I want to say it was like a third degree tear.
Oh.
And she's going to do another home birth.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't have been the end of the world. I mean, it's just obviously no one wants a tear.
Right.
It's just another thing to like deal with. But she was stitched up right there with her midwife. I mean,
totally.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know a single person who isn't obsessed with Topgolf after they've tried it. If you haven't been, it's this massive, stunning, cool venue that has so much more than just golf. It's an experience. So I've gone with all my friends. I've taken my parents there. I've gone with my goddaughters. It's legit. Perfect for anyone. I'm personally not super good at golf, but that's where it's fun because it doesn't matter. I've gone with my friends before that are legit so good at golf, and sometimes I've even beaten them at games we play. They've got these huge light up targets that you try to hit into a massive fairway, and there's a ton of different games that are associated with them. Another thing I did was I had my friends who were really good at golf help me with my swing and teach me more about golf, and I didn't feel all stuffy and pressured or whatever because I was in such a relaxed atmosphere. They have music pumping, amazing food, and drinks that get delivered right to your bay. Get the pizza, trust me. And personally, my favorite part is that even though it's technically outside, it's covered, and so in the winter, they got heaters that make it cozy, and in the summer, they've got fans to keep you cool. And shout out to my lefties, because another reason that I never really play golf, or I guess I'm kind of intimidated, is because I don't actually have my own set of clubs, and it's rare that someone else is left-handed, and Topgolf hooks it up with the lefty clubs. Actually, everyone gets to choose whichever club they want when they're in there. I just genuinely have such a good time every time I'm there. Also, if there's someone in your life that wants to have fun but also can't miss a game on TV, we all know the type, then don't worry, they have giant TVs everywhere. I'm telling you, the next time that you don't know what to do with your friends, with your parents, or even with your kids, take them to Topgolf. It will not disappoint. Also, it's fun to try something new. I never thought that I'd be interested in golf, but Topgolf makes you forget that it's a serious sport and you just have fun with it. It's golf. It's not golf. It's Topgolf. Download the app, book a bay, and come play around.
So someone, the process after you had the baby and it was beautiful, someone wrote in and was like, okay, real talk, be completely honest, for real. How gross was it with all the juices and the blood and all the like placenta and everything, all the things that come out?
Birth juices.
Yeah, all the birth juices. So I have to say, and I'm going to say it right now, this is even shocking to me. I always think, I'm so thankful that there are people in life that are meant for certain things. I am so thankful that there is someone out there that is meant to clean our teeth, because it couldn't be fucking me. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be me. I literally, when they clean my teeth and I smell like, you know, gloves. Just like plaque or whatever. I'm like, and I'm like, and I know I'm not that dirty. So I know some dirty bitches be coming in here and they have to clean their teeth. I'm so thankful there's someone in this world that thinks like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I'm so thankful that there are people that are doctors and nurses that can see blood and guts. And when I watch, like, y'all think I'm kidding. I'm so dramatic with this. If a show is on, which I love, like murder mysteries, I love like Blacklist, I love all that stuff. If skin is being sliced open, if there's a knife slicing skin open, I will not watch it. If there's blood, I will not watch it. If someone's being stabbed,
oh, we get it.
I go like this. I go like this. I literally put my hand.
I'm starting to hurt.
I put my hand in front of my eyes. I literally. And someone's like, "Oh, come on!" Like someone always says, "It's fake. It's a movie." I'm like, I can't fucking watch it. Right?
Yeah.
Like Grey's Anatomy. I could never get into that show because of that. Anyways, I don't know what it is, and I don't know if, not to be so deep and dramatic, but I don't know if it's because I literally feel like you're my family, and like if it was someone you like love, you like care less, but. It happened with something else that happened to you. I forgot what it was. I helped with something. It was either looking at your hemorrhoid or something. I don't remember. And I was just like not grossed out by it. I can't remember. Oh, I remember. It was you giving birth to Walker. When I was there, I thought to myself, I'm going to freak out and I cannot be the bitch that faints and makes it about me. I cannot. And whenever I watched you give birth, it was no other way to put it but beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was stunning. And I was literally staring into the eye of the tiger. Like I was in the front of between your legs, right?
Yep.
And I was just like, I'm not grossed out. This is not weird at all. This is like so, I'm so interested and it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit different with home birth because you don't have three different nurses wiping you down, grabbing you, doing all this stuff immediately. Because like, I feel like when you give birth in a hospital, they have the blanket over you. Mm-hmm. Like no one is actually, unless you're the nurse or doctor, seeing all that stuff. They're cleaning it up like so quick.
Yeah.
With the home birth, it was a lot more like quiet and calm. It didn't feel like a rushed hospital environment. Mm-hmm. Therefore, whenever she got out from the tub to the bed, I mean, you, all the juices in birth, like liquids, are all down her legs, on her feet, as they would be because she got up from a, you know, tub and walked to her bed and then she laid down. And the midwives were cleaning you off. And then I just walked over and I grabbed some of the washcloths. And I literally was like, didn't even think twice. I was like, oh, let me help wipe this blood clot and placenta and everything else and everything off of her legs. And then I was taking, the rags filled with like blood and blood clots to the bathroom, rinsing them off, like just like getting all the, I would be like, oh, there's a clot right there. And then I was just rinsing them. And then I would bring them back and be like, here's a new wet one. And they're like, even the midwives were like, what the fuck? Like, what? And I was just like, yeah, get it off.
Chelsea was
thigh.
Like, you have such a good friend.
Oh, well, no, I really, me, I'm like, oh, I am. No, I will hold that over your head for as long as I live. But I genuinely, the question was like, be for real, be so fucking for real. And I'm like, I am. I really was like not grossed out by it at all. And I think it is probably because I just feel like you're like my sister. But genuinely, I was just like, oh, there's an extra little clot right there. Let's get that off.
I mean, you really were. I remember looking down too, being like, Shannon, you don't have to do any of this. And you were like, oh, I got it. It's fine.
And the midwives are doing so much other important shit. I was like, I can wipe the blood off of you.
I mean, that was wild. You were literally wiping. What did I compare it to?
Well, you were like, you're washing my feet.
Yeah, like, I'm like, you going to use your hair next like they did in the Bible?
Yeah, I was like, no, bitch. No.
You're like, this shit's red. No,
never yeah, mind. Yeah, never, like, never mind. Never. No, but I really wasn't grossed out by it. And it was definitely a lot more juices than I thought there'd be, though.
Really?
Whenever you birthed your placenta, though, Mike was like, can I touch it? And I was like, you're a fucking freak.
Yeah.
Even the midwives were like, that's the first husband we've ever had asked to touch it.
Yeah, and then he, like, really got his hands up in there and touched
it. Well, because the midwives do, they were like, do you want to see your placenta? You were like, yes. And then they came over, and they did, like, which I assume only, I'm glad that people are put on this earth to be in the positions they are, because couldn't fucking be me. But they, like, hold up the placenta, which looks like a stingray, and they're literally like, look. Oh, this one's beautiful. This is nice and veiny. This is beautiful.
They talk about it like it's like art.
Yeah, and I was like and Mike's like, can I touch it? And they're like, sure. Because they were going like this and touching it all over, being like that. And then he was like, I want to touch it. And then they're like, this is what was attached to the inside of your wife for 9 months.
Yeah.
And it's just nuts.
I mean, for me, like, I think it's cool. I obviously, like, I wanted to see it because I'm like, wow, that's where my baby would was, and or it was not in the placenta, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, after a couple of days, I'm like, I don't want to touch it
again. Yeah, it's just knucking futs, man. The human body is crazy.
It's wild.
It really makes me so proud to be a woman. Like, I just want to sing all those woman songs. Like, I am woman, I am fearless. It's just like so cool. No,
let's go girls.
Man, I feel like a woman. Okay, let's wrap this up. Let's see, let me see what I wrote in my notes, because I am a prepared little bitch. Oh, we could wrap it up talking about the house.
What house?
Bitch, we bought houses beside each other.
Oh, lots. Yeah.
We are building houses beside each other. The things babies do to you.
What house?
What house, she says. What house? I haven't been ordering Postmates or buying purses. And you say, what house?
I forgot. I've been a little busy.
Someone wants to know. So the process has kind of gotten a little bit more. Actually, it's just like started in general as far as like the building is underway. Like we'll get pictures from our friends that live in the neighborhood, Colin Clay, and they'll be like, look. And it's like a picture of the
there's gravel.
Yeah, gravel. Or like they're pouring your concrete. You've got footers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what any of this means, but I sent it to my dad. I'm like, I've got footers. He's yep. like, exciting. They're like putting the walls up for your basement now.
Yeah,
very nice. We keep joking that like because it's tornado season now in Nashville, we're like, we're just gonna go to your lot and just lay on the ground because we're like, in the basement. Done? Is this done yet?
Is at least the basement done?
Yeah, can the basement be done? Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, Taylor and I get to do like some of the more fun stuff, which is like she's completely renoing her kitchen like from the jump street. I'm going to do like a little bit here and there. So I was at dinner with my friend Mallory Irvin the other day and she was like, she said this and it's so true. She's like, you're so lucky to have a Taylor. You're just so lucky because like people pay for this shit and I just have a Taylor, which she just know. I have a Taylor. Mm-hmm. And she knows everything. And you just, it's going to be so fun. Maybe not for you, but it's going to be so fun for me just to call you and be like, what do I put here? What do I do here? And we're getting to do the fun stuff now, which is like pick out tiles and pick out like kitchen things and cabinets and all that jazz.
Yeah. Shit we never thought would be fun.
But I'll be honest, shit that we never thought we'd be doing at the exact same time together, which is really cool. So like, I don't know, couldn't recommend more, you know, buying a compound next to your best friend.
Yeah.
It's compound, buying a lot next to your best friend. And
well, the compound's our next move.
Compound's the next move, yeah. I think. Precious baby Novi, precious baby TT. I love you so much.
Thank you. Older than you.
Not by that much. You know that when we figured out that I don't know if we've already said this on the podcast. When we figured out that Taylor was a grade older than me.
A grade. I forget.
A grade. Because you know that's how you used to measure stuff.
Well, yeah, because we're not, there's not many months between us.
No, and I'm
August, you're November.
Yeah, because you were the youngest. You had to be so young in your grade. Because you had learned more in Hawaii or something. When you came to Alabama, they put you in a higher grade, right?
I was just really fucking smart.
She was so smart. And I was a bit older for my grade. But yeah, I mean, it's funny how that shit used to matter so much. I actually, now that I'm thinking about this, I think I have said this on the podcast before, but there's like girls that were in the grade below me. Mm-hmm. Like I remember their names, Baker, Aaron, like Jessica, all these girls that were in the grade below me. And I remember when they went to college, right? And they got in a sorority. I was like, oh, cute. They're in Zeta. Cute. Look at them. How sweet. Like, bitch, they are 7 months younger than you.
If
like,
that.
And then when they got married, I was like, oh, Baker got married. Yeah. Cute. Like, she has literally 7 months
younger. She's pregnant. She's a baby.
That baby's pregnant. Like, she is 7 months younger than you. Like, it's just so funny how that, like, works in your brain that way. But, I mean, I found out that Taylor, when we realized and we put it together, and I was like, wait, this is obviously very early on in our friendship, but maybe like a year in, I was like, wait, what year did you graduate high school? And you were like, 2011. And I was like, oh, I graduated in 2012. Taylor immediately goes, really? I would have never been friends with you. She was like, I would have never. I don't think I would have liked you.
No.
And then I recently found out that James is the grade above me too. And I was like, hot.
So yeah.
You just got so much hotter.
Hotter.
Upperclassman. But really, he's like 6 months older than me.
That's so funny.
It's just so funny.
How many months?
Or what?
August.
He's August. He's July, you're August.
Okay.
Anna Grace is July.
So he's a month older than me.
He's a month older than you. Hot. Well, precious baby angel, grade older than me or not. Love you. Thank you for coming. Very impressed by you. And you're fucking crazy.
I'm fucking crazy. You're next.
Bye.